Hello, and welcome back to another Match Truck and Grep podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today I'm joined by Luke Vernon. Now, Luke, you may well know if you've ever been on the internet, whether you've been on Facebook or on good old TruckNet, which is sadly missed. It's quite a vocal character on there, I think it's fair to say. So, hello, Luke, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, mate. It's a beautiful day out there. So, yeah, we're all good. So, how on earth did you end up, you're not truck driving currently, but how did you end up becoming a truck driver in the first place?
Well, like for a lot of people, it runs in the family. My granddad was a truck driver. My dad was as well. Well, my dad was a mechanic. Well, my granddad was a mechanic to start with, and he drove trucks. And I started off that way, actually, because when I left school, back in the depths of time, you still had to be 21 to drive a truck.
Yes.
So I ended up going off to being an apprentice mechanic for 3 years.
Did you enjoy it?
Hated it. Yeah, exactly. No, it wasn't for me. It's funny because my dad's a fantastic mechanic. My youngest brother is a fantastic mechanic as well. It just wasn't for me though. I just wanted to drive lorries. That was all there is to it.
No, fair enough. Was that with a dealership or a small independent company?
No,
or?
that was with a local bus company, and then I went and did a bit on forestry machines. They had a workshop in Abergwilly, and it had no doors, so it was an absolute nightmare in the winter. And
I can imagine.
Fixing like Leyland Leopards and Leyland Tigers and stuff, the flat engine buses.
Yeah.
Awful things, awful.
Well, it can certainly keep you busy, I guess, fixing Leylands.
Yes. Yeah.
So you just literally bide your time to your 21.
Yeah, well, I ended up, funny enough, so I left the bus company as an apprentice mechanic and then went to work for a forestry machinery company. But then I went off and did my transport manager CPC when I was 19. And I came back from my week off from the forestry job, and the boss sat me down in the office and he said, I want an apprentice that wants to be here. And it's like, you clearly don't. So he gave me the sack, which is fair enough. So I ended up going back to the bus company because you could drive buses at 18. So I started driving buses, and that was the beginning of my driving career.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, you always could. As long as it's under, the route had to be like 100 kilometres or 60 miles, I think.
Got you. Right.
Yeah, local buses and stuff. So I went and did that for a year and a half. Then the company went bust. So they bought their first bus, and first bus didn't run any coaches, obviously. So that put pay to any ambitions to heading off down the road a bit.
Yeah. Did you enjoy driving buses at all?
I enjoyed driving coaches. Buses was fine. But if I got my licenses back, I would go back coach driving. I do think actually coach driving is a better job than truck driving for me. Not the case for everybody, because not everybody's in lorry driving is particularly social.
Yeah.
But basically, choose the right work and you're just going on people's holidays all the time. So
yeah, I guess so. Getting paid for it. But yeah, I can imagine local bus routes would just, I mean, I know I've got a repetitive job at the moment, but blooming heck, that would just be soul destroying to
It wasn't so
to
bad
some.
then, because it was like my first driving job, so anything was exciting. But
Yeah.
But yeah, so I went to work in London then. There's lots of people from all over the country to work in London driving coaches because the money was better. And the work was better and the coaches were better. I did my HGV within weeks of my 21st birthday. And then I spent another 4 years desperately trying to get a job driving trucks, and everybody kept knocking me back.
No experience.
The most notable one, I remember it looked quite promising. I rang him and I was in the south of France with a coach load of passengers. And he said to me, oh, he can't give you a job. You've got no driving experience. And I just like, are you kidding me? Like, it's nuts. The coach and bus industry is way ahead of transport. Transport is so short-sighted when it comes to new drivers and young drivers and stuff. If you met the average bus or coach driver and you asked them who paid for their test, 90% of the time it'll be the company. But it's the other way around for trucks. So, yeah, it's just so short-sighted. It's mad that they trust you with all the people, but not loaded toilet rolls or something.
Absolutely. I mean, I think some of it comes down to the insurance, because where I am at the moment, they've had a couple of young people pass and subsequently leave, and they would insure them on a newer Arctic that I'm driving, but they wouldn't actually insure them on like the 8-wheeler that I cover as well. So they were really limited to what they could do for some reason, even though they're both over 25, but they just didn't have the actual on-road experience. The insurance company were the main issue there. So whether that's a bit of a factor in, I don't know. But yeah, they're a law unto themselves, as we know.
It's funny, though. It's funny how things work out, because I'm glad in hindsight now, I'm glad it worked that way, because those 4 years driving coaches around Europe were 4 of the best years of my life. So If I'd have gone straight to trucks, I'd never have had that.
No, fair enough. You eventually managed to find a job driving a truck then.
I did, yeah. My dad was working for the famous Nolans at the time, and he'd been asking the whole time if I could have a job, but they would kept telling me bad down. But then eventually, when I turned 25, they offered me a job, Nolans. So I spent a year at Nolans. That was a baptism of fire, it's got to be said.
Were you based directly out of Ireland, or because they had quite a few outbased in Wales at the time, didn't
Well,
they?
yeah, they just used to just keep the truck with you and take it home at weekends. I was living up in St. Helens at the time because it was my one time in a relationship, and they never really shipped trailers through Holyhead back then. Because if you're from the south, they'd ship trailers through Pembroke, so you just pick up trailers and run trailers out the dock. So I end up shipping back to the forwards. It was murder because I'd have like 3 hours sleep on the boat, run around Ireland all day, back to the boat, 3 hours sleep on the boat, run around the UK all day, back to that. I was on the boat like 5 nights a week. I couldn't do it now; it would absolutely bloody kill me. But yeah, young enthusiasm.
Was it just around the UK and Ireland, or did you actually
Yeah,
get?
just UK and Ireland with them.
Was that down to just the lack of experience? Well, I say lack of experience. Obviously, you've been driving coaches throughout Europe for 4 years.
It was the age. They'd had some bad experience with younger drivers having accidents, and sadly to admit, they didn't have a great experience with me on that respect. But when you're
Well, I
running
think,
day and night, I mean, it's not like in
and everyone has bumps and prangs when they first start. That's just kind of the way things
exactly,
go,
yeah.
isn't it, really?
Seamus, the bloke who was in charge of all the drivers and stuff, well, he was sort of the boss, but he was worked in the workshop. Like he was very unassuming. He'd be seen no rules time. I pulled into the yard one day, and he came over and laid into me and sacked me. And so I rang up to the office because the office was up the hill. And I said to Noel, his brother, I said, he said, oh, pick up that trailer, go for the boat. And I said, I think I've just been sacked. And Noel shouted, what? Slammed the phone down, came driving down the yard and went over to Seamus, and they were shouting at each other in the corner of the yard for 5 minutes. And then Seamus, Noel came over and just said to me, get that trailer, go to the port, F off. So yeah, because that was the thing. I would
Reinstated
get,
very quickly.
yeah, because while I had accidents, I was on the time all the time, and I never complained, so which is fairly rare in this industry as well. But yeah, I worked there for a
Was your
year.
first truck with them?
My little green Actros. I still remember the registration to this day as well. 00WX4936. Lovely,
Excellent.
yeah.
Because I mean, nowadays they've got an awful lot of DAFs, older DAFs, but they must be well maintained because they're not worried about sending older trucks anywhere. I mean, I see it.
No, exactly. They're always well on top of the maintenance when I was there. Yeah, they're not like even when I was there, you'd run day and night, but the trucks were always in top-notch condition.
Fair
I
enough.
imagine it's still the same because, like I say, you can't really run 10-year-old DAFs across Europe without being on top of the maintenance.
No, definitely not. I mean, I see a screenshot, I think it was, of like the tracker, and I think at the time there was three of them in Morocco. This was only a couple of weeks ago. Sicily, all over the shop. So
Yeah,
it's I mean
exactly.
it's nice it's nice to see that somebody's still heading to all these destinations, really.
And somebody independent as well. I always thought that when Jimmy, the old man, died, that they'd probably sell up because they must have lots of offers. Because I imagine one of the big logistics company would love to get their hands on them.
I would have thought so,
But then somebody I was talking to the other day pointed out that it's a very big family, so maybe it's because they wouldn't make enough money to make them more comfortable. But yeah,
Maybe, or I
who
guess
knows?
it's still making money, and they're happy just to
Exactly, they're
keep
happy
plonking
doing
on
it,
at it.
and they're building something. So.
Yeah, exactly. So where'd you go from Nolans then?
I went. My dad went off to work on agency in London. Me and my dad have followed each other around most of our lives. So, yeah, this was in the days of big money. So I went to work in London with him. Rented a room down there. It was the days of big money because it was the days of paper tacos and the days of running day and night again. It was the money was nuts, absolutely nuts, because you could just do shift after shift. You could do as many shifts as you want. It was frequently like a regular for us was Iceland at 4 a.m. out of Enfield, driving those bloody god awful little FL10s. And you'd be in Iceland all day for 15 hours, finish at 7 o'clock at night, get in the car, and then go to another customer, do a night trunk for somebody, and then come back for Iceland. Yeah, it was crazy. Again, I couldn't do it now. It would bloody kill me. But lots of us doing it at the time. It was funny as well, because sometimes you'd see somebody like when you were finishing Iceland, the night shift would be coming in, the drivers. And sometimes you'd be at a place and you'd see one of them who'd just seen you finish work at Iceland and then saw you in another truck a couple of hours later. It's like, it's not me. You can't see me.
That's my twin brother,
Yeah.
honest. I actually got lambasted for saying the comment, "I'm glad those days are over," on a previous podcast, which
Oh, I am, yeah. I had great fun while it happened. I always wanted to do it. It's something I always wanted to do. Well, it's something I say on courses, actually. I don't boast about it. I'm not proud of the fact I did it, but I'm not ashamed of it either. It's like lots of us did it back then. But I had to start running legal in 2010 when I got my first digital tachograph, Lorien. And at the time, I was a bit annoyed. But in hindsight, I'm glad because you see so many older drivers in their 60s who've been doing it their whole lives and they're absolutely wrecked. So I'm glad I it was my mid-30s when I stopped. So I did it long enough to have a good go at it, but I had to give up before it killed me.
I felt because I have heard several times it's like sleep deprivation and a regular lack of sleep is one of the worst things you can do for your body.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's
So
something I am teaching my health CPC as well, is how important sleep is that people sort of underestimate.
something an awful lot of us lack, I believe. So
It is, yeah.
such is the way of life. So you're on the agency, then you had a change again then.
Yeah, the agency went quiet, so I went to work for another of Europe's most notorious companies, HSF Logistics. They had an agent in Coventry that would supply all their drivers back then. They did this thing called the day-night day. It's mad now, isn't it? I say this to people. It's mad to think that back then, entire companies ran like that, and we all knew about it.
And they got
The
away with it
politicians
regularly.
got to,
It's
yeah,
just.
exactly. Like if you drove a Nolan or an HSF lorry, you wouldn't bloody get past a checkpoint that was open. So an average day-night day, we'd get off the boat in Holland, do your deliveries and collections, because there'd be a lot of them as well, because it was all like multi-drop meat work. Take it all back to the depot at Nijmegen of an evening, tip and reload yourself on the bay, and then drive all night to the UK, and then either do drops all next day in the UK or go to Holyhead for the boat to Ireland. And you'd do at least one of them a week, but sometimes you'd do two. I remember when I went, it was one of the few jobs I've ever had where I had to go for an interview, because nearly all my jobs have been given over the phone. Their driver turnover was nuts, because
I
so
can
many
imagine.
drivers thought they could do it. You'd go to Nijmegen and you'd see a new driver, and he was on his first day night day, and he looked like the world had just collapsed, because it suddenly dawned on him what was being expected of him. He never got too friendly with them because he never saw them again most of the time. That day down in the interview, and he looked down at my CV and he said, "Oh, I can see you've worked for Nolans." He said, "I think you'll be fine," which I was, to be fair. Spent about 3 years. I looked working for HSF. It was a great job.
You driving Scania for them or?
I was my first truck there was one of the Volvos. They had some Volvos with double deck trailers. Then I drove one of the, they used to have a load of 380 Scanias, which were hilariously underpowered for the work they did.
Yeah, the four series top lines, weren't they, if I
That was
remember
it. Yeah,
rightly?
that was it. Yeah, I remember once putting up out of Dover, and I weighed about 48 tons. I thought it was going to bloody start rolling backwards. It was so slow, but
So
it was
it
my
did
problem.
always mystify me when I see them, and I thought, why on earth have they bought 380? I know the Netherlands is very flat,
That's probably it. Yeah.
but we also all know that the weight in the back is quite a generous 44
Yes,
tons, I think it's
exactly. Yeah.
fair to say. So
But that was sort of wetted my palate a little bit for Europe, but it wasn't proper European work. It was just Holland and Belgium and UK, Ireland. So I always wanted to. Somebody told me Virginia were looking for drivers. So I rang them up and they seemed a bit disinterested on the phone. So I just thought, oh, that'll be the end of that then. And then a couple of weeks later, Sean, the boss, rang me. Sean's a very softly spoken man. It can be very hard to understand sometimes. And he'd be like, okay, hey, do you want a job? Do you want a job? And he's like, sorry, what'd you say? He said, do you want a job? So yeah, I said, go, definitely. So I handed my notice in, did my notice, packed my car up in Coventry, drove to Ireland, put my stuff in a lorry, and off we went for Virginia then, which ended up being the best period of my life, probably.
Good
Yeah,
company to work
fantastic
for.
company. Oh yeah, by far the best. It's like family run. Like I've done all the work for the big logistics companies and supermarkets and stuff on agency, but I wouldn't want to work for them full time. Something I say to people is I quite like having the phone number of the bloke who pays your wages.
It's nice to be a name and not a number, isn't
It
it?
is, yeah. I ran quite hard for them as well, like Italy nonstop and stuff like that. So I had a R500, 06 R500 when I was there for the first 3 years. And then they gave me the 2010, and that was my first digital tachograph truck. And I remember saying to him, I'll move into that truck tomorrow and I'll sleep on the old one tonight to Ray. And he slapped me on the back and he said, that'll be the first time you've ever slept in that lorry. Because I did have a bit of a reputation for running quite hard. But yeah, it was fantastic. They kept me on the UK for a week, but then my first run for them was Portugal. So that was where all my dreams started coming true.
Fantastic. Had you been to Portugal on the coaches previously,
No, actually, I
or
hadn't actually. No, I'd not
this
been
is
to Portugal. Yeah,
completely
I
new
was, yeah,
territory?
completely new that one. And then in 2009, I recorded my first little vlog. So I used to make little videos for friends and family because they
It's
thought they
kind of
always
how
got
I
things
started.
better than photographs. And then I thought to myself one day, why don't I just pop one on YouTube? So that's what I did. And the rest is history.
Absolutely. You must have been one of the first out
I
there
was actually
doing
the
it,
first.
I
I've
would
tried.
say.
Some people kept telling me I was the first, and I never believed them. But when I was ill, I went off and tried to find anybody that did it before me, and I can't find anybody. So I always claim it now as I was the first.
Why not?
it's my little pride. It's not like I split the atom or anything. If I hadn't done it first, somebody would have done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I quite like that little fact. I never got massive. I mean, it's a lot of work. You get people bitching and moaning about people like Trucker Tim, thinking it's easy money and stuff, but it's not easy money. The amount of work Trucker Tim's had to put into that channel, it's a
Yeah, oh
full-time
yeah.
job.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
It's a
I
lot of
that's
editing and recording and setting up and faffing about and
yeah, exactly. It
plus.
was only ever a hobby for me. I just used to my videos used to come out in dribs and drabs whenever I fancied it. So
Yeah.
that's why I never got a massive audience. Because if you want a massive audience, you need to have set videos, same
Regular.
time every week, so people can look
That's
forward
it.
to it. I mean, you just look at the comments and people were saying, "Oh, where's the video this week?" This and the other creators and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I was never into that. It was just like a hobby.
I find that with today's age as well, it's people just create content just purely to create it, and it's just mostly a lot of it is just dribble, but it's just purely to get to it's just purely to get something out there,
It is,
just to
yeah.
sort of keep their name or whatever at the top of the algorithm, I guess, just to keep it, keep them popular, I
It is.
suppose.
There's a lot of. There's a lot of, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of boring content out there. But
Yeah, there is that as well, unfortunately, but
everyone and his dog's
it's
doing it in trucks now, aren't they? So.
it certainly seemed to be. It's really taken off. I mean, I don't do a great deal now, just purely because my work is very, very regular, and I only go to sort of three places, and that's it. And there's only so many
Yeah.
times you can film going to exactly the same place week in, week out. So mine sort of really dropped off an awful lot. Were Virginia's quite happy with you doing that sort of thing whilst you're working
Well,
there,
because we were
or
sort of the first, it was not like, when none of us
not
had
really an
any sort
issue?
of preconceptions about what it was. I remember I didn't tell him when I put the first video out, and Sean came up to me in the yard a week after. He said, sat there, I really enjoyed the video. I really enjoyed the video. And they did handle it really, really well. I mean, they did enjoy it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they bought me a 750 because of the content. They was coming up to their 30th anniversary in 2012. And I remember saying to my dad, oh, I might jokingly ask them if they'll buy me like an R560 or something to celebrate their
Yeah.
anniversary. And then one day I pulled into the yard and Ray comes over and he says, oh, we've ordered a 750 and we want you to drive it. And it's like, okay. And that was, I think that was purely because they weren't known for their big power trucks. And I think that was just
Yeah.
making the most of the publicity I could bring it. So,
Yeah. Were you happy to get out of a Scania into a Volvo, or did it not
oh
bother
yeah, oh God,
you?
yeah. I've never
Yeah.
been there. I've never, I don't have a particular favorite truck, to be honest. Well, I swapped from R500 to an R440. People thought I was
Yeah.
mad giving up a V8, but I've never really been bothered about power. And then people thought I was mad going from a Scania into a Volvo. But again, I've never been really bothered about makes because they offered me they bought a 560 at the same time, actually. And they offered me the Scania. And I said, no, it's fine. I'll take the extra power. People thought I was mad for that. And it's like, I'm not going to give up 200 horsepower for a badge.
No. Did they not also have a 143 at the time as well?
No, I still got that. Yeah. It's still
Yeah, they've still
around.
got it. Because you have a little drive in that.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? You get one of my things I find funny is the amount of rose-tinted spectacles there are amongst
Oh,
drivers,
yes.
and I always it always makes me laugh when you see somebody like a company will post a picture of an old truck and a new truck, and all the comments and they oh take the old one any day, and my
No,
view
you
is
wouldn't.
like yeah you'd last an hour before you'd made a horrible mistake. So I drove that
Yeah.
143 at Virginia, and it was nice to experience, but my God,
Yeah.
this is so uncomfortable compared to a modern lorry.
Yeah.
White
Most people
saddle.
take it to the end of the road and back and say, "Can I have my comfortable automatic back, please?"
White's had an F16 that we took to for an MOT because it was down here being fixed, and Dad and me took it for a spin, take it for an MOT. And again, while it's a nice truck and it was iconic in its time, the F16, of course, Globetrotter, it was we
Yeah.
both got out with a headache and a bad neck being rattled
Yes.
around. People don't
Yeah.
realize how fantastically comfortable modern trucks are.
Yeah, and easy to drive.
And easy to drive, yeah. But I don't know, people, lorry drivers seem to love the idea of more work, don't they? Seem to like
Yes.
they moan on about roping and sheeting and stuff. And I remember how many much drivers used to hate roping and sheeting back in the day.
Tilt trailers
Yeah,
as well. It's
exactly.
an awful lot of rose tinted glass and mega tilts as well, which were
Yeah.
just
And
even worse.
I saw some people swooning over an FL10 the other day. And it's like,
Now, now,
no.
now,
It's like they were, yeah, nobody liked them at the time. Bosses motors, as they used to be called, didn't they?
but
But
they were a nice truck to drive.
yeah, well,
Comfortable, put them around, They weren't, but the problem with them is they weren't designed for tramping, which an awful lot of them ended up doing.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Same as a P-Cab Scania. They were a proper governor's motor, and they're abundant before I think the driver shortage really started to bite in, and cabs just progressively got slightly bigger, and
Exactly,
before
yeah.
long, drivers are kind of like, why would I want to do a week away in that when I can have another guy's going to buy me a truck I can actually stand up to get dressed in.
Yeah, exactly. You reminded me there of that because I worked on the agency for Tesco in the age of the day cab Scanias. They used to have the 4 Series. God, they're awful lorries. Something else I point out in courses as well is how these days a long distance cab pretty much comes with a fridge as standard. Whereas when I started driving, fitted fridges were almost unheard of, weren't
Oh
they?
yeah, that was on the passenger seat that you've bought
Yeah,
yourself.
exactly, with a seatbelt around it and everybody waking up with flat batteries because they've forgotten to unplug it.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I think microwaves are starting to become more common as well. I personally think if you're going to have drivers expect them to be away all week in a lorry, that's the least you can do is give them a microwave and a fridge.
The overall cost, say, spread over 5 years, is so minimal that if your
Exactly, yeah.
driver isn't worth, say, £5 a week just to keep him happy, then
Exactly, right.
maybe I'm wrong in saying that you're not a particularly good boss, but it's everyone's different.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had the 750 Volvo for Virginia's. Best truck of your career?
Yeah, that was the best truck I was ever allocated. I loved it. It was nice. And they've still got it, actually. The work was great as well, tramping all over Europe. One of the best jobs they had was Coca-Cola ingredients at Ballinara in the west of Ireland. Used to take it all over Europe. ADR work that as well. Coca-Cola ingredients are hazardous. Carrier carried under ADR.
So it
Yeah,
says a lot
because
about the drink, doesn't it? If
it
you're
does,
a
yeah. Big, there were big IBCs just of these corrosive liquid for Coca-Cola. My favorite run for that
Nice.
was Budapest, actually. Loved going out there. But yeah, so all my dreams came true at Virginia, pretty much.
Fantastic. Was there anywhere that you didn't quite get to that you wanted to with them?
Finland. I was away on holiday, and then he rang me up 2 days before the end and said, "Oh, we've got a load to Finland. Would you want to come back early and do it?" And I said, "No." And I should have said yes, but there we go.
Did you never quite manage to get to Finland then? Is that the
No,
one
I
you've
never got to
missed?
Finland. Did
Oh, that's a shame.
Sweden. We ended up. I ended up in Norway as well with Virginia, because he used to do these. They used to a Jewish group in Ireland used to go all together on holiday, and they'd send their food ahead, blessed by their own rabbi. We'd do that a couple of times a year. I was told to go and meet the cruise ship in Copenhagen at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. I got there at 8 a.m. on Monday morning, and it's gone. And turns out I should have been 8 a.m. Sunday morning. I had to chase it to a Norwegian fjord, which was quite good fun. Customs wasn't fun because obviously Norway's not in Europe, so I didn't have any bloody paperwork for the load. So there we go. That took a bit of sorting out. But then I said having a life settling down and living with friends in Bristol. So I handed my notice in, and he said, "Oh, we want to open a depot in the UK. Do you want to do that?" So I said, "Oh yeah, I'll do that," because I had my transport manager CPC. So while I did get them a depot and I did set it up, I ended up getting the sack from that, which was sad as well, because we both me and Virginia handled the whole situation very badly. So it soured the relationship, which has been since been improved. We've made up since then, but it was sad that because what it, the biggest problem was, it was in the depot was in Tamworth, and I was living in Bristol, and that was just a nightmare commute trying to do that every day.
I can
So I was
imagine.
rolling into the office at like midday and stuff like
It's not ideal.
that. And then I went to work for Bull in Bristol, doing a lot of Tesco work. They're a good company, got a nice fleet. And he ended up buying me a 750 as well.
All
That was lovely, that
right.
lorry. But again, that was solely because of the social media and stuff. That sort of went a bit sour, actually, because we had a bit of a falling out over a load of mayonnaise that ended up being shot because it was badly loaded. And he blamed me. So that was the end of that job. And then I went off to work for Mr. White, good old White's, still friends with Pete. Good job that, doing lots of European work, driving all those
Was
flagship
gonna say,
Scanias, which was quite nice.
straight back into Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Italy.
Yeah, lots of Italy on that one, lots of multi-drop Italy, because I prefer multi-drop. I know lots of drivers hate it, but I prefer it. And then I sort of came and went from there for next 3 years. Did a bit of work for Broughton's as well. I also worked for Gibson. And then I decided to have a go settling down again, so I went to live in West Wales and went to work with my dad, who was by that time working for Mansell Davies on the milk tankers. But I'd got seriously ill by that point, as well as having stomach problems with stomach ulcers and stuff. But I wasn't really sorting myself out. I was trying to deny it, and I was a bit of a wreck. At one point, I'd like lost half my body weight because I wasn't
Flipping
eating,
heck.
and I weighed like 47 kilos or something. And then, just for good measure, in 2020, I went and crashed into a gatepost and nearly killed myself.
Flipping heck.
I was flown to hospital in the air ambulance. because I wouldn't have made it in the road ambulance. My parents told I probably wasn't going to make it. So this was February 29th, 2020, which is quite handy because it means there's only an anniversary every 4 years because it's a leap day,
Everybody, yeah.
which is good for my mum because it's quite a stressful thing to
I can
remember.
imagine.
But yeah, I was in an induced coma for 5 weeks, and then I woke up in hospital.
Wow.
And my memory from the last at least 10 years had gone completely blank. I couldn't remember a thing.
Wow.
And it was at the start of COVID as well. So I woke up into this hospital. Nobody could visit. Everybody was in masks. It was very surreal. It was like some sort of dystopian film.
I can imagine, yeah.
And me not knowing why I was there.
Was it all kind of linked back to your stomach ulcers and just not being particularly well, I
Yeah,
guess?
probably. Yeah. Well,
Oh,
like I said, having not even memory, I don't know why it happened, but yeah, it's probably something. It's a miracle that I survived, really. I mean, the doctors were amazed I survived. Like some healthy people, because like at all, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I have no idea why. I always do wear seatbelts. So I ended up being launched out through the passenger side window head first. The window was shut, of course. And if you've ever tried
Naturally,
to break a car window, you know how hard that is.
especially with your head.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what did the damage. But yeah, so I woke up. Just had to stop piecing out to learn to walk again. They shunted me out of hospital early. I was only in, so I was in the induced coma for 5 weeks, and then I think I was in hospital for another 3 weeks. And they discharged me unable to walk. And as they said, normally they'd never have discharged me of the state I was in, but because of COVID, they wanted to get me out while they could.
Blimey.
Well, for my own good, really. I mean, the 2 days before I was due to leave, they come up to me and said, "Oh, we're going to have to put you in isolation and do a test because you've got COVID symptoms." And that was terrifying because if I'd have got COVID, that would have killed me because I smashed my rib cage to bits so much. I've got like a metal rib cage now. Coughing was a nightmare. So imagine going into a coughing fit would have been horrendous. So,
Oh, yeah, it's not worth
but
thinking about,
yeah,
is it?
they shut me out. I'd stay with my parents for a few weeks and learn to walk again.
If that's not a lesson to really listen to your body, if you're not feeling 100% and get checked out, I don't know what is really.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I was something I make quite big of in the courses is like looking after your health. Because as the lorry drivers, we can often just be guilty of not sorting stuff out and trying to deny it's happening and stuff. Because, of course, it can be really hard to get appointments as a
Especially when
driver.
you're up the road.
Exactly. Yeah. I noticed, I saw there was a scheme recently at one of the service areas where they had doctors and people could just get consultations, lorry drivers and
Ah, that's
stuff,
good.
which could be a good idea. But,
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, it was quite an experience. Ultimately, it's going to sound really ridiculous, but it was quite a good thing in the end because it sort of gives you a proper perspective on life when you've nearly lost it. Nothing is actually that important after that. And any day you can get up in your own bed and you get out of it on your own steam is a good day, frankly.
This episode of Matt's Truck and Grape podcast is proudly brought to you by GoFetch with Flypets. If you need animal transport, whether it be UK, Europe, or the rest of the world, give GoFetch a call. Whether it be a cat, a dog, a rabbit, a hamster, a guinea pig, a bird, you name it, they can move it, no matter where it needs to go in the world. So check out the website for GoFetch or Flypets.
Lost my licenses on medical grounds. I might get them back. We're going to see maybe this year. I had to get my car license back. I went to work for a local company, Jan's Haulage, doing Yodel parcels. Oh my God, what an awful job that was. It's just a nightmare. Give me so much sympathy for parcel drivers. It's a nightmare job.
That just looks horrendous with what
It
they've
is
got to put
horrendous.
up with.
Because we're in the middle of nowhere as well. My run was Corwen, so I'd load the van up in Aberystwyth, and it'd be at least an hour and a half to get to my first drop. And then you'd have like 90, 100 drops. If I ever say that online, people are saying, "Oh, that's nothing. I have 250 drops," but it's different when you're in a city. I mean, this was Corwen. Corwen was insanely rural, and you'd have several minutes between every drop, and it was a nightmare. I had loads of jobs in my career, and I've always been proud. I've never walked out anybody. I've never left them in the lurch, even if I wanted to. But that was the one I did because we had it was that really snowy winter, and I'd only got so just before Christmas I'd got like 25 drops done in a day. I mean, three times I got out of the van and it was sliding down farmyards without me in it. And we were in the office next morning, all the drivers and all the office staff, and the boss starts ripping into me for only doing like 25 drops, and I just said, "Right, that's it, I'm going home." And as I walked past, he said, "If you go now, don't come back." And he's like, "Well, that's the sort of the point." And that was
Yeah,
that.
that's what I was aiming for.
Yeah, no, absolute nightmare. So yeah, I We're too welded to next day delivery, I think. That's causing people moan about vans drivers parking in stupid places, doing stupid things. They moan about it like leaving them in stupid places. Like you get people saying if they like spent 30 seconds more walking down the path or something. But it's like when you've got 150 jobs, like
No,
seconds
30
soon
seconds.
mount up, yeah, if you do that every time. So people need to, like, the problem is we're just too bloody obsessed with next day delivery. It's
Unfortunately, that's the world we live
And
in, isn't it?
it's amazing though, isn't it? I just find it amazing because this is a part of the transport and logistics is sort of fairly new since I was driving. The amount Amazon has blown up. I don't know whether you follow him on Facebook. There's a bloke, his nickname's Mavis. He is an Amazon driver around the southeast, and he just goes from depot to depot. But they've got like depots everywhere. It's amazing. And I find it insane how I'm in darkest West Wales and I could go on Amazon now and look for something and it'll be here in the morning. I mean, how is that possible?
It's nuts, absolutely nuts. And I was wondering the other day whether Amazon actually have an O license and actually their own trucks, because I think they just own trailers and not actually
That's interesting,
tractor unit.
interesting.
I don't know. I think it's just all franchisee hauliers, but I don't know.
Hang on, I'm going to write that down, so I'm going to find out.
I was just curious as to what sort of, what responsibility they actually have.
But yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's the same with the van things. I do personally think if you run vehicles in a professional capacity, you should definitely have to have an operator's license.
If you've got a farm that has a truck for hire or reward, and a tractor is caught like with defective tires or something like that on the road, that goes against the operator's license. So should that not be the case? So just using DPD for argument's sake, because they've got vans and they've got trucks. Now, should there not be some sort of regulation towards these van drivers that would reflect onto, because DPD must have transport managers and O licenses, things like that.
But yeah, like I say, it's sort of part of the business that's entirely blown up since I was driving. It's all new, but there we go. I don't, it's like people say, do I miss driving? And I suppose sometimes I might miss like doing Budapest or something like that. But I don't miss the bread and butter driving that's like doing those Amazon jobs and stuff like
Also,
that.
the aggro that goes with the job as well, because going to Budapest, once you're through customs and you've got a nice clear road in front of you, you know where
Exactly,
you're
and it's
going.
lovely.
That bit's fantastic, but all this, and then like you'll know, trying to get parked up in Germany, for argument's sake, after
Yeah,
4 o'clock
after
in the
4 o'clock, yeah.
afternoon,
Can be a bloody nightmare.
just near on impossible, isn't it? And just just the stresses and aggros and of stuff, and just all that, the whole package just makes it a lot harder, and it's not as much fun as what it used to be as such.
No, and like I said, I don't like miss the driving like the UK work and stuff. You never know, might get license back. I'll do a little bit of work now and again if I do, just to keep my hand
Just dip
in.
in and out, be a bit more enjoyable like that as well, I'd say,
Oh, it would, yeah.
because you know that you can just walk away and it's not a problem.
Exactly, yeah. And then I always fancied the idea, so I did the videos. My favorite videos to make, and the ones that were often most popular were top tips, which is basically just telling people about how to do certain parts of the job. Because the reason I started that is when I was starting out, I must have rung my dad like multiple times a day to ask him about how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other. And then when I started making the videos, I thought a lot of people won't have that. So I was going to try and be that for other people. So it made sense to just go down the CPC route. And that's where we are now. So ultimately, all the business I've got now is basically built on the back of the social media. I mean, it'd be really hard to become a CPC trainer straight away on your own without following behind you, I think. But yeah, it's fantastic. I really enjoy it.
Was it quite a slow sort of start with it all, or how did it,
No,
because you
it's
obviously.
pretty good. It's yeah, I had a fair few customers and get go, and like my repeat business is nuts. And I do enjoy like providing a decent service to people as well. And it's right, people find it easier as well because it's a lot of drivers obviously for good reason find it hard to go and sit in a classroom and be taught how to do the job by somebody who's never done the job.
Definitely that, and that was my sort of bugbear when it very first came out. We went on our first day's driver CPC, and I can't remember exactly what the module was, but the chap running it, I don't think he'd ever been a driver. He'd always been like managerial stuff like that, and he was then trying to show us how to thread a ratchet strap. And he couldn't. And in the end, my mate got up and showed him and sat back down. And I was just thinking, this is ridiculous. Now, since I've become involved with training myself, I'm a big advocate for training, and I think it's got its place, and I think it's a good thing. I personally, I think the law should be changed ever so slightly that you'd have to do first aid and driver's hours as
Yes,
two
yes.
modules as such every 5 years, because in my head, if every single truck driver has got a basic knowledge of first aid, even if you're terrified of blood, because that's what a lot of people will say about, you don't
Yeah.
necessarily have to, we don't need you bandaging people up and whatnot, but just to deal with someone who's in shock and know what to do. So then when there's a scene of an accident, you will get a truck driver turn up because there's trucks on the roads at 24/7, 365. So at least that driver, in theory, will have a basic knowledge, if nobody else has, which could potentially
Yeah,
save a
exactly.
life before the emergency services come.
Exactly, yeah. It's
So,
I yeah, I was always in favor of the CPC even when it started.
yeah.
People say I'm just saying that now because I make money out of it. I mean, as I say to people, the idea that you should be able to pass your test in your early teen, late teens or early 20s and then go the rest of your career without any further training is nuts. I mean, any other
Yeah.
job that has safety as such a big part has ongoing training. I think the
Yeah.
problem is the CPC was very badly put together to start with, and I think it's still
Yeah.
fairly badly put together. It could be so much
Yeah.
better.
Absolutely.
Because that's what
It
I'm
really
trying, I
could.
try to do in my courses. I'm trying to make them something worth doing. And this says a lot as well. Like, I had a bloke the other day, I think he was 60 and heading for retirement. And he said, he emailed me afterwards saying, I learned something from your courses, which means a lot.
I like to try and take pride in the fact that I think everyone I've done, somebody has learned something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's helping. It's when you put it across in an engaging way as well, you get so many people just sit there droning on.
Yeah.
And then, of
Yeah,
course, because
definitely.
of like you have, I can insert my own experience into it all over the place, which is a very helpful real world experience.
Yeah.
I also do think that it should be legally required that companies have to pay for their employees. An employee,
Yeah.
it has to be done in work time. I mean, when I started doing them, my friend who works in pharmaceuticals, he's never worked in transport, he was amazed that most of my customers were individual drivers, employed drivers, but paying for their own CPC and doing it in their
Yeah.
free time. He was amazed that people
Yeah.
were paying for their own work training.
Yeah, that's it, because if you don't, your company's not going to, you've got no license, have you? And it's just,
Exactly, yeah. But
yeah,
yeah,
it's ridiculous, but
there's so many things that need to change in this industry for the better, but
well,
whether they
that's
will
it.
or not.
I guess half of the problem is the rates are so bad that there's such a small margin. I mean, training is essential at the end of the day. You need your drivers to be compliant and up to date. And also, again, things like regulations change. I mean, how many drivers are unaware of the latest changes with, pedestrians and crossing the road?
Exactly,
I
yeah,
mean,
exactly that. Yeah.
and I
Yeah,
point
it's
this
just
out to somebody recently, and they said what they thought it was. I was like, no, that's not actually right, and that's why we've got things like CPC to keep people updated, because it's all well and good reading about it on Facebook, but is it actually true on there what you're
yes, true,
reading?
yeah. Oh, the amount of like that's one of my favorite pastimes now is arguing with morons about the law on Facebook. God, it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm surprised you've got time to do your actual driver CPC courses if you're spending a lot of time arguing with morons on
Oh, it's hilarious
Facebook.
though. I love the fact they turn to insults really quickly
Yes.
and end up calling your names and stuff. And it's like, I just find it baffling.
People get so defensive about it, and it's just, but you're wrong. You've got it wrong,
Yeah.
and that's the whole point of the CBC, is to try and make you understand it,
Exactly. One thing I always
and
find funny is as well is people turn really nasty really quick. If somebody turns really nasty, I go the other way and go really, really polite. And just keep like
yeah.
being really nice to them, and you can watch them melt down over the next few comments. It's because they can't hack somebody. Because people who want an argument, it's I cover this in like my so I've got like a social media CPC, but people, so many people out there want an argument, and the best way you can get to somebody who wants an argument is not give them an argument.
Yes,
Wind them up
absolutely.
something chronic. So just go really
Yes.
nice, and they just can't handle it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So have you created any of your own modules and got them
No, not yet in
approved with
process.
JAWT or not?
Not yet. No,
Yeah.
I still go through a consortium, but they are in the writing stages. And
That'd
I
be
add a few
interesting.
bits and pieces to the ones I do anyway, like as extra content. So to like my own experience and whatnot. But yeah, it's fantastic. I'm sat here now in my little office with my dog at my feet. Life couldn't be better, really.
So, would you like to teach in a classroom-based environment, or are you just quite happy doing that online?
Oh, I do the t classrooms too. I did one for Alliance Logistics
Yeah.
a couple of weeks ago. I quite enjoy doing the classroom ones, actually. At the moment, it's
It's
primarily online because I live in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, I do travel around the country. So if anybody wants some CPCs done.
Well, you never know. You never know, do you?
No,
So
no.
I find the classroom-based environment a lot more interactive and a sort of a bit more personal.
It is, yeah, exactly. That very much
Yeah.
so. Because the problem is that most lorry drivers have never been on a Zoom call. It's an alien world, isn't it? And they
Yes.
sort of aren't confident speaking up sometimes. So
Yeah.
frequently the courses nobody really interacts, which is fine. I mean, if you're not or don't want to interact, my thing is I just want people to be comfortable. If they're comfortable to speak, they feel free to speak. But if they're comfortable to stay
Yeah.
quiet, just stay quiet. I'm
Yeah.
not gonna. I can talk.
I tend to find there's always at least one who is very, very interactive and will do an
Yes.
awful lot of talking.
And
And if you get one who's funny and genuinely funny, they just get the whole place going for the entire course, because
yes.
there's usually at least one clown who's
That's
actually rather funny.
well, I quite like that's quite I quite like doing the in-person ones at a company as well, because they're all laughing and joking with each other because they all know each other.
Absolutely,
And it's quite good to bounce off that sometimes. So that can be
yeah,
really helpful.
definitely. So, what does the future hold for Luke then? Are you going to expand your teaching like into ADR for argument's sake, or you're
No, I
quite
nearly
happy where
did
you are?
the consortium did do can you can offer transport managers CPCs, and I was going to do that, but then at the beginning of last year I really thought hard about it, and it's like I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just going to concentrate on drivers, because a lot of people sort of move up the ladder and drivers end up getting forgotten, so I'm
Yeah.
just going to concentrate on the driver CPCs and
Yeah.
doing them well instead of sort of doing more different things. And it's sort of a bit unfashionable to say, but I'm sort of quite unambitious as well these days. I'm quite happy just with my own little job,
This,
working for
yeah. That,
myself in my own little office. I don't want to employ anybody. I don't want to work for anybody else. I'm just happy doing
yeah.
this.
Cannot fault that at all, really. I'm rather unambitious as well. I've got no desire to try and work my way into an office or anything like that. I'm quite
Exactly,
happy
yeah.
just
I mean, I did
doing
all.
my own thing and all that.
I did all
Yeah.
my ambitions driving. My driving career was nuts. I had a fantastic time. And that's also because people say, "Do I miss it and stuff?" And I think now one thing that helps is, I mean, if I write down my job experience, it looks nuts. It looks like about five different people because I've been around the block so many times. But that's, I think, partly why I don't miss it, because I did it all. There's nothing else I wanted to do.
You've got no burning desire to go out and do
Exactly. I ticked all the
a
boxes. I
particular
did all the
job.
jobs. So it's not like what could have been, because it was. So yeah, that's a good bit of advice to anybody. Just follow some ambitions and dreams. I mean, when I was lying in hospital, I remember sitting there, lying there, thinking, if I'd have died, could I be happy with how life had ha been? And I went, yeah, absolutely. I had a fantastic time so far. So, and now
Excellent.
we're in the age of Albert with the dog.
Good old Albert.
Yeah, he's like that is one of my last ambitions and dreams. So obviously, I've been in love dogs my whole life. My family's always had dogs, but I never had one on my own. And of course, if I'd gone back driving, I wouldn't be able to have a dog of my own. So,
No,
yeah.
absolutely. There is something to be said about being home and having a
Exactly,
regular
yes.
life. So, if people want to find out more about you, Luke, have you got a website
Yeah,
that people
lorrydriver.co.uk. You want to book a
and if,
CPC?
and is it the same on the socials as well?
Lorrydriver.com. Facebook is the main one I use. And if anybody
Have
wants to
you?
book a CPC, I've set up a. You can get £5 off if you put use a Trucking Great Podcast as a discount code.
Oh, that's very kind.
Book a CPC, and I promise they're not
Yeah.
boring.
No, I can imagine they're not. I think they'd be good fun.
Brilliant.
Right, well, I think I've taken up enough of your time, Luke,
Nice to
as
speak to you. Really enjoyed that.
you spend a lot of it online. So yeah, it's
Yeah.
been most enjoyable, and perhaps we'll touch base again maybe soon.
Yeah, no problem. Okie dokie.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, Luke. We'll
Thank you
speak to you
much.
soon.
Cheers.
Lovely.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Ta-da. Bye.